there are certain things that it can shake your faith. They shake your faith in God. Amen. Now, because of time, quickly, I want us to read Matthew chapter 14. We are reading from verse 25. The Bible says that, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea." Now, the fourth watch of the night is 3 a.m. 3 a.m. Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. Indeed, you know, by some of them were fishermen, and by their experience, I believe they might have seen certain things on the sea before. So the Bible says that around 3 a.m., they saw somebody walking on water. Walking on water, and the person wasn't passing by. The person was coming towards them. And the Bible says that, then they said, this one is a ghost. This one is a ghost. And the Bible says that, and they cried out for fear. They cried out. They were screaming. The apostles were screaming in the boat. They were the people Jesus just told them. They were with Jesus. And Jesus just told them, "Oh, just go on ahead of me. I'm going to join very soon." And then Jesus went on the mountain to pray. And when they had gone on further, the Bible said that they saw the man after hours walking on the sea, and they were coming. Now, I thought about this, and then, do you know that when you go to the sea, you hardly see through the storms? You hardly see through the storms. Now, that's number one. Number two, what kind of speed? Because for a man to walk on the sea after his disciples has gone for hours and he was able to catch them with them. You see, sometimes I remember I was talking to somebody and I told the person, there is something called divine speed. There is something called divine speed. Now, when I came into ministry, it is one of the things that the Lord told me. He said, "I will give you divine speed." Things that somebody will use 20 years to do, you are going, and by my help, you are going to do it in a very short time. And I believed it. I believed it. And it works. Divine speed. So after they've gone for hours, Jesus was able to catch up with them. Because of time, I can't go into certain things. Now, and the Bible says that, he said, "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. It was never Jesus' idea that Peter should walk on the water. It was Peter who says that if you are saying you are not a ghost and that it is you who is coming towards us, if it is you, bid me to come." And the Bible said that Jesus said, he said, "It is I, come." And Peter stepped out of the boat and then started walking on the water. Verse 30, "But when he saw the wind," when he saw the wind, when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, one of the things that we need to understand, I've established that it's number one, it was Peter's idea that he wanted to walk on the water. On the water. You see, when he was in the boat, though he was experiencing the storm or the wind, it was when he stepped out of the boat, then he experienced the actual storm. If you've ever been to the beach before, look at how boisterous. Even the day they will tell you, "Oh, it is calm." It doesn't look calm. And this man stepped out of the boat, started walking on the waves. Started walking on the water. You see, there are places, there is a place of comfortability that when you are there, There are certain things you will not experience, maybe how difficult it is or how the storm is, until you find yourself in the storm. So if you don't take care, and then there are people, that is why I tell you that if you don't understand the pain of certain people, don't be too quick to judge them. Until Peter stepped out of the boat, that is when he realized that I've stepped into another realm. And by that time, he has left his place of comfortability. Now, because sometimes out of fear, there are people, they have told themselves, I will never leave this boat. Sometimes out of fear, God is speaking to them, this is what you're supposed to do. And they know that what God is going to tell, has told them to do, it comes with a certain level of sacrifice. There are certain storms that are waiting for them. And they look at all those things and they count the cost and say, it is not worth it. So there are people, they are living, but they are not fulfilling their goal. God mandate, the mandate of God upon their lives. Why? They are afraid. There is always a price to pay. Now, the Bible says that. Now, there are certain things I wrote down, and I will read some of them to you. I wrote down and I said, we think that peace is found when the waves of life are calm. Now, Jesus didn't promise smooth sailing. He promised to be with us in the midst of the storm. Now, the truth of the matter is that peace is not the absence of storm. There are people we think that if we see a storm, it means that God is not with us. When we encounter certain things, it means that God is not with us. Now, last time when I was teaching, then I asked you, what has Joseph been a slave in Potiphar's house? What has Joseph been lied upon that he is a rapist? What has Joseph got to do? What has his destiny and the dreams that God showed with him has to do with being a slave? What has it to do with being accused? What has it had to do with being in prison? And then even the people you help, they forget about you. What has this got to do with what God showed me? But the Bible says that, and the Lord was with Joseph. But God, if you are with us, why are all these things happening to us? This is the question Gideon when he encountered the angel in the book of Judges. He said, where are the miracles our fathers told us about? So sometimes when we find ourselves in the midst of the storm, we doubt that God is in the midst of the storms. But I tell you, God doesn't leave. He doesn't promise us still like that there will never be any storm. But he said, I will be with you. Sometimes God will not prevent us from going into the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But he will be with us in the fire. He is the fourth man in the fire. Do you know that there are certain things some of us we experience and we are alive today? Somebody didn't experience it to even the extent that we are experiencing it, but they are dead and gone. Why are we alive? Why? Because there is a fourth man that is with us. And the Bible says that when he stepped out of the boat, there is something very interesting. The Bible says, and when he saw the storms, when he told Jesus, if it is you, bid me to come, his eyes was on Jesus. And then when he stepped out of the boat, then we see Peter now looking at the storms. So when he saw, you can only see something when you are looking at it. So the Bible says when he saw the storm and that it was boisterous, he began to sink. It means that as long as Peter's focus was upon Jesus, Peter never drowned. He never sank. And if we can fix our eyes on Jesus, if we can lift up our eyes unto him, the Bible said that on the other day when Israel were being bitten by snakes, then the Lord told Moses, he said, set up a brazen snake. He set them up and he said, anyone who will be able to look up to it, you'll be delivered. You see, as long as we can look up to Jesus, the Bible says that looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the difficulty, can you lift up your eyes and say that, Father, I am looking out to you? The interesting thing is that there are indeed great storms in this life and in our walk with God, but what God demands of us is that we need to stay focused. Let me tell you, I've been in storms that the only thing that I could do in that midst of the storm is to just sit quietly and to worship God. and to worship God. And to worship God. There comes a storm in your life. You see, never leave God because of a storm. Never take your eyes, God, and the possibility that is in God because of the storm. Hallelujah. So, there are indeed great storms in this life. Now, the same circumstances which is causing Peter to sink is the same thing that is causing a lot of believers to, let me say, lose their faith, or they take their eyes off God. We now tend to look at the storms instead of focusing our eyes on Jesus. And some of us, the waves of depression, the waves of death, the waves of sickness, the waves of sadness, the waves of hardship, financial hardship and difficulty. And then we've taken our eyes off Jesus. And then now we are looking and listening to the storm. Now, one of the first things which can shake your faith, number one, because of time. Number one is what we feel. What we feel. The first thing that is robbing us are the things that we feel. Peter felt the wind blowing on him. That is what caused him to... What is this thing? What we feel. Do you know... You see, you can't see the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it. No one can say that I've seen the wind. But you can see the effect of the wind. For example, sometimes when it is about to rain, you can see a strong wind. You can't see it, but you can see that this wind, sometimes it is causing havoc or it is doing something. You can't see it, but you can feel it. Do you know sometimes the problems you are going through, you don't see it, but you can feel it. What you are going through, have you ever seen what you are going through before? You've never seen it. But all that you do is that you feel it. You can feel whatever that you are going through. Who has ever seen hardship or poverty before? That this is hardship and poverty? No. You see the manifestation of it. That when somebody is in this, it means that the person is poor. When you see this, it means that the person is in difficulty. There are certain sicknesses that people have been diagnosed of. They've only heard the name. They've only heard about it. They don't know how it looks because they have never seen it before. So sometimes what we feel can rob us or can shake our faith to the point that you lose your eyes of God. The Bible said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible said, they said, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let me tell you, if you want to build your faith on what you see, your heart will fail. He said, the Bible says, my heart would have failed if not I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Where there are certain things, if you don't look beyond it, and then all that you are saying, I'm looking at this, and then your heart will fail. Because sometimes, nobody see beyond a storm. When the winds are blowing, when there is storm, when you stand at the shore of the beach, there is a certain distance you can see it, or when there is a storm, or when the waves... You can't see beyond, or what is beyond how far your eyes can see. But there is indeed something beyond it. Nobody sees beyond a storm. So, there are people that when they find themselves in the storm, they go blind. And then their focus is only on what they are going through. But they are not able to believe that though weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. So we need to get to a point where we are able to look beyond the storm and then focus on Jesus. What is this thing that you are feeling in your life? Can you believe once more that this is what I'm feeling, but I know that Jesus is able to overcome? The woman said, I've been bleeding for 12 years, and then the doctors have told me all this. And interesting, the Bible says that the more she visits the doctor, the more the situation gets worse. And the Bible says that one day she didn't see, she heard of Jesus and said that I've heard of this wonderful man. I might not be in a position to touch him, But I know that there is power. By faith, I touch the hem of his garment. I shall be made whole. Never get to a point in your life where something you were not born with, even sometimes things you were born with, never accept that it is part of you, especially when it is when they are things that are contrary to the wisdom and the mind of God, until God has told you that it is my will. Never accept it, because anytime you become, let me say, complacent or okay in certain situations, nobody can help you because you've accepted it. But this morning, may God give us insight. Now, another thing, let me just give you to the next thing is what we see. The first thing is what you feel. The second thing is what you see. Now, what Peter saw threatened his faith. And what did he see? He saw the waves. What are the things you are seeing in this year that have started threatening your faith? When you wake up in the morning, and some of us, you tune into your television, you tune into your radio, and then it is filled with a report of fear, report of doubt, report of unbelief, report of depression. You feel information when you tell, and then now inflation is this, inflation is that, whatever it is, and you ask yourself, how am I going to survive? In my house, we don't even listen to radio. As I'm speaking to you now, I don't know whatever they are doing out there. I don't listen to it. News is politics, and news is fear, and how impossible. They are telling you can't survive in the current economy in which almost every country finds itself. I don't want to hear that. Because in my Bible, I saw God sending animals to feed men when there was no food. Farming. I saw men in Genesis 20 say, a man sowed like Isaac. In that year, he reaped hundredfold. And the Bible says, and the men of the land, they envied him. Let me tell you one thing. Some of us, you are behaving like one day you step out of your house, and then as you are coming home, you saw a truck parked in front of your house, and somebody is bringing out all your things from your room. Bringing out all the things from your room, and the person has brought in his own stuff and they've started packing it in. And let's say you drive in there, maybe with your wife or whatever, and then as you get there, you ask the person, why are you doing this? And the person tells you, now I own this house. Meanwhile, you know that you've paid for the house, you built the house, everything shows that it is your house. Now, let me ask you, what will you do? Will you just turn and go and sit in the car and tell your father, honey, somebody said the house belongs to the person. You let's go to this our auntie or this friend, if you can get a place to sleep tonight, then maybe tomorrow we sort things out. Nobody will do that. But some of us, that is what we are doing. We are sitting there, the devil is packing us out, and we are not saying anything. We are not fighting back, and then we withdraw, and he say that some even get to a point, this is the will of God. No, until God confirms to you. So the devil is packing away people's belongings. He's packing away, he's taking away your peace, he's taking away your health, he's taking away your finances, he's taking away things that are supposed to make you comfortable and then live this life, a meaningful life, and you are quiet about it. And then he brings in depression. He's packing his things, he's packing depression, he's packing bad news, he's packing bad health. God didn't give you bad health. God didn't give you some of the things that you have accepted that this is my life. No, we need to go back to it and say, Father, you didn't give me the devil. The Bible said that when I resist you, flee. This, let me tell you, don't stand there. The Bible said that he cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Until there is something to kill, until there is something to steal, until there is something to destroy, that is when the devil will come. I read a story about Smith Wigglesworth, and he was telling a story about a woman who left her house, and she was supposed to catch a bus, I think, to work, and then her dog was following her, and then on three occasions, the first one, She told the dog, mentioned the name of the dog, go home. And the dog will just play and then follow her. And then the second time, she told the dog when getting closer to the bus stop, mentioned the name of the dog, and the dog came closer, licking her legs and all those kind of stuff. And then when she saw the bus coming, she knows she can't go with the dog. Then she turned, looked at the dog in the face, mentioned the name of the dog, said, come on, go. And the dog started running. Let me tell you something. Some of us, you are pampering the devil in your life. You need to stand and fight. Stand and fight. Stand and fight. Fight in prayer. Whatever way God is leading you, you must protect your. No, the Bible said that nobody goes to the house of a strong man and take hold of his possession unless first of all the strong man has been bound. Let not what you feel, let not what you see rob you of your faith. We are living in times where people don't have faith anymore. They believe in what they see, but the Bible says that, and they want to even walk in the flesh. The Bible says that indeed we walk in the flesh, but we do not walk after the flesh. So there are certain things that the devil wants to rob us of, but it is never the will of God. That is why we must go back to the place of prayer. Some of us, you've left the place of prayer. You pray when it is convenient. You pray when you have time. Give time that every day in my life I'm going to go before God this time, and I'm going to call upon God. Let me tell you something. If we can call upon God, God will show us the right way. If he can call upon God, the devil cannot steal anything from. The Bible said that Jesus told Peter, he said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You were walking on the sea. You were doing what I, the Son of God, was doing. And then you started doubting because you focused on the storm. Some of us, God started things in our life, and now we think that because of the storms we encounter, what we saw, what we felt, we have turned our face off God, and now we are depending on the experiences of men. Go back to the place of prayer. What did God tell you? Go back to it. Go back to it and say that, Father, maybe I left you, but I'm back. I want to take back what is rightfully mine. Let me tell you something. Until you resist the devil, he will not flee. And the storms will be coming. The storms is not as important as who is with us in the storm. I told you some few days ago that it is not about the storm, but it is about who is in your boat. Woe betide you if it is Jonah who is in your boat, but if you have the storm calmer. The Bible says that what manner of man is this? That he speaks to the storm, he speaks to the winds, he commands things and they obey him. Let me tell you, when you believe God and know that you serve a God that even trees listen to him, you serve a God who is able to do the impossible, then I am telling you this morning, trust God once more. Don't lose your faith. There are people that they are in churches, but they have lost their faith. There are people that they are in places. Everybody think they are strong, but they are not. Why? Because of the storms and the battle they are battling and the things they are battling secretly. This morning, go back to God and say, and God, I've come to you. Touch me once more. Do this once more. I have overcome the storms. Don't focus on the storms. Focus on Jesus. Until we focus on Jesus, there are certain things that it will start invading our lives. The Bible says that they had Jesus in their boat, but they were trying to scoop the water out of their boat. And when they got to a point, they know that no, they are dying, and they went to wake him up. He said, don't you care that we perish? And he didn't respond. He, you know, the water that was coming into the storm was not, well, into the boat wasn't the main problem. There was something that was bringing the water, and it was the storm. And he commanded, he said, peace, be still. Maybe you might have tried to do it on your own whilst God sit there and watch. But it's never too late. Wake him up and say, Father, though he never sleep nor slumber, but go to him and say, Lord, I've come. Your daughter have come. Your son have come. Do something new in my life. Do something new in my life. This morning, wherever you are, I just want to say that may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May his face continue to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. And whatever that you do, may the Lord perfect everything that concerns you. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he give you peace. in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Have a blessed day, and may the Lord be with you.